But now let us proceed with the question of Western Buddhist and Eastern Buddhism. I say Eastern Buddhism. I use the expression Eastern Buddhism. But the first thing that I have to say is that there's no such thing. There's no such thing as Eastern Buddhism. What in fact one has is a number of Eastern Buddhisms in the plural. And broadly speaking, there are now in the Buddhist world, in the Eastern Buddhist world, four of these now extant. The Southeast Asian Buddhism first, then next, secondly, there's Chinese Buddhism, thirdly, there's Japanese Buddhism, and fourthly, there's Tibetan Buddhism. And I'm going to say just a few words about each of these in turn. First of all, Southeast Asian Buddhism. Southeast Asian Buddhism is found in Ceylon, in Burma, in Thailand, and in Cambodia. Also, here and there, in Singapore, Malaysia, etc. And Southeast Asian Buddhism belongs to the Theravada school. And its scriptures are contained in the Pali Tipitaka in some 45 volumes in the Royal Thai edition. Secondly, Chinese Buddhism. This is found in mainland China, in Taiwan, Korea, Vietnam, and parts of Singapore and Malaysia. I'm, of course, ignoring recent political developments, which have certainly altered the situation, though we don't yet know to what extent exactly. Chinese Buddhism, of course, belongs to the Mahayana school, belongs to what we may call general or non-sectarian Mahayana. And the scriptures of Chinese Buddhism are contained in what is called the San Zang, or three treasuries corresponding to three Pitaka, in 55 volumes, though these volumes, I should tell you, are very much bigger than the volumes of the Pali Tipitaka. In this particular collection, there are no less than 1,662 independent works. A few of them are almost as long as the Christian Bible. Thirdly, there's Japanese Buddhism. Japanese Buddhism, of course, is found in Japan, also in Hawaii, and among Japanese immigrants in mainland USA. Japanese Buddhism comprises various schools of what may be described as sectarian Mahayana. The best known schools probably are Zen and Shin. There are also various modern schools developed even in the present century. The scriptures of Japanese Buddhism are the Chinese San Zang, or Three Treasuries, plus various Japanese works according to sect. In practice, the sectarian works may sometimes displace the San Zang. Fourthly and lastly, there's Tibetan Buddhism. This is found in Tibet, Mongolia, Sikkim, Bhutan, Ladakh, parts of China, even in parts of the USSR. Again, I'm ignoring recent political developments. Tibetan Buddhism consists of four main traditions, all following all three yanas, that is to say, Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, and differences between these four occur mainly in respect of Vajrayana lineages, that is to say, tantric lineages. And their scriptures are all contained in the Kanjua, which means the Buddha Vachana, or Word of the Buddha, in 100 or 108, according to the edition, xylograph volumes, plus special collections like the Rinzing Therma for the Nyingma Pas or the Milarepa Karbum in the case of the Kagyupas. So these are the four extant Eastern Buddhisms. There are various intermediate forms, in fact all sorts of intermediate forms and sub-forms and sub-sub-forms, but for the sake of simplicity, I've ignored them. So for practical purposes, Western Buddhists find themselves confronted by four Eastern Buddhisms. They don't find themselves confronted by just one monolithic Eastern Buddhism with completely unitary features. And incidentally, and this is just by the way, they do not find themselves confronted by an Eastern mind or by Eastern psychology. I don't know how many psychologists are present, and I don't know whether any of you might like to challenge me about this, but in my opinion, this whole talk of an Eastern mind or Eastern psychology is a complete myth. Some writers speak of the Western mind and the Eastern mind as though they were two completely different minds. And it suggested that it's very difficult for one mind, the Eastern mind, to understand the other, the Western mind, or vice versa. And Buddhism is supposed to be a product of the Eastern mind. And this is why sometimes we're told it's difficult for Westerners to understand Buddhism, because it's a product of the Eastern mind, and here we are trying to understand it with our Western mind. Now, speaking from my own personal experience, and I've spent altogether 20 years in the East, I found no evidence whatever for any such belief that there was an Eastern mind as distinct from a Western mind, or an Eastern psychology as distinct from a Western psychology. I found wherever I went, whether I was associating with Indians or Tibetans or Mongolians or Thais or Sinhalese or even Europeans, I could understand them, and they could understand me. Buddhism, admittedly, is difficult to understand, but not because it's a product of the Eastern mind. It's difficult to understand because it's a product of the enlightened mind, a mind which transcends the conditionings of both the East and the West. Another popular myth, which I might as well mention while I'm at it, is that there is a spiritual East and a materialistic West. But this is another myth. The West is no more materialistic than the East. One might say that the West is simply more successful, and let's put a question mark here, in pursuit of materialism.